Hello and welcome to this week's episode of Shark Cast Radio, a weekly podcast on all things Cronulla Sharks. And as we wrap up the season, we have to spend a special shout out to our sponsors, the legends at Dyson Logistics, coming at you live and loud from the Royal Motor Yacht Club, Port Hacking. And of course, this couldn't be possible without the support of Jason Hawes at Cripps and Cripps Real Estate. I am one half of the podcast Sharks Nut Newman, and I'm joined, as I am every week, my fellow Sharks fanatic, Sydney singer-songwriter, Fox Sports stats man, Sam Shinazzy. How you going, mate?
Hey, Newman. We are over and out for another season. It's happened so many times now to us. There's only one year when it hasn't, really. And this year...
That season ended, too.
No, it didn't. Still going. This year, bittersweet, but we're moving on already, I think. And we're going to spend a bit of this episode talking about the game that was. Yeah, how are you going?
Well, I have a bulging disc, so I'm currently standing here at the Royal Motor Yacht Club in just battling on, Sam, you know, playing through injury.
One bulging disc?
Three, actually. Yeah.
What are they called?
I don't know their names. Yeah, George, which ones? Harvey.
You said though they had names.
Oh, L3, 4, and 5.
What about L7?
And the Savoir Faire. All right, Samuel, the official records will read that the Canberra Raiders unsurprisingly rolled quite brave and plucky Sharks team 32 points to 20, and that ends the COVID season 2020.
Rubber
up. 6 year of the podcast, and the Sharks were despised outsiders, as they kept saying on the commentary, and they started really, really well, but just weren't good enough to keep up with the Raiders, and it was plenty of talking points from the game, but the start was good.
Yeah, I would concede the first 50 minutes was pretty good, even in post-intercept, but best half they played all year at least. They played the sort of footy I like, tough, hard, uncompromising and simple. And I was really, really impressed with the much maligned Chad Townsend.
Really stepped up, looked like he had a point to prove, but I mean, he kind of went to water at the end. But everything was going against him by that point, but it was very much, they started like it was a semi-final. The only problem I had was, I'm like, how long can they maintain this for? And it was pretty much two things that swung against us. The injury to Brayley.
Yeah. Boy, he was going good.
He was going great, wasn't he? And then the intercept, Wade Graham, dear idea.
Yeah, we all kind of had a feeling during that intercept moment, and I think the team took it upon themselves as well. As I said, they played all right at the start of the second half as well, but the mishap with the ref was really the end of it all, which is a shame. Didn't have to be that way.
Now, let's talk straight out of the gate about the mishap with the ref. Two pieces of controversy there. The first was Wade Graham had called for a captain's challenge. And secondly, did he tap it gate? So where do you sit on both those things?
He did ask for a captain's challenge. And the referee probably should have stopped the play because he saw Wade coming across. The problem there was Wade wasn't entitled to ask for a referee's challenge.
Yep.
So the ref wasn't wrong in that sense by the letter of the law, but common sense says, everyone just hang on here for a second.
Yeah, go back.
Did he tap the ball? From what I saw, he didn't tap the ball.
Right. Two wrongs don't make a right. But, of course, it would have been better to not concede that try, but it's you can't put it down to one try. You know, things go against you in a game. And I noticed on social media there was a lot of decrying of the referees. You know, and we had calls go against us, but the good teams are able to suck that up and get on with it and get the job done despite a couple of bad calls. Now, I agree with your summation. I think even though Wade Graham didn't have the right to ask for a captain's challenge, I think the ref just ignored him, and then that was a convenient escape for him. And the whole he didn't tap it thing, they missed that one. That's a miss.
And they went to video ref as well, which is
And the video ref didn't go back all the way, which is normally like they check everything, but you know, we just weren't strong enough. I thought there was a bit of a tactical mistook. I thought that when Brayley come off, Wade should have gone to six straight away and Connor Tracy into nine.
Okay.
And I think we missed a trick there. But, you know, it's all 20-20 hindsight. In the heat of the moment, they probably thought that was the right thing.
Well, Sorensen's fit enough to go for the remaining 60 minutes or whatever. He's not a special hooker, but he's played there a little bit in training and that kind of thing. And it wasn't the worst move. Proud of the effort, like everyone else has been saying, and best performance in a long time. Massive issue with the fact that they can't finish a match. Massive issue with the fact that something goes against them and it all falls apart. To me, that's way, way, way not good enough. And you're in this fight. You're winning the fight, man. You're winning the fight and something goes against you. And I'll say that there are some inexperienced young guys in there and that can happen. But as a whole, as a team, you got to fight, man. You got to fight.
Yeah,
I was disappointed in the collapse.
You don't win those semi-final games and you don't win grand finals against the compliant opposition. You know, the opposition comes back at you. That's what good opposition does. You know, you wrestle a bit of ascendancy and then they try and wrestle it back. And the way the game's being played in 2020 is there's big momentum shifts and you've got to try and shift the momentum back. But, you know, I was texting a lot of people during the game, and as soon as that intercept happened, I'm like, this team does not have the mental fortitude to come back from this moment.
And I'll say this, they didn't give in, they didn't give up, they didn't concede, but the performance just was polar opposites.
Yeah, so, I mean, we can sit and talk about the game, or should we just review the season? Because the game is completely academic now.
The game is done.
The season.
Yeah, we can talk about the season. Let's start with pass marks and that kind of thing. Where do you have us?
Well, when I commentated the A grade grand final a couple of weeks ago, I did it with one of the Sharks board members, the great Dave Nicholson, who's the president of DLAR, and he asked me straight out what I gave the team, and at the time I said it was a B minus.
Really?
Yeah.
Is that because of circumstances and
things?
Yeah,
but now I'm giving them a C minus. I think that they were very...
B minus is pretty high, dude.
I know.
That's something I'd say.
Well, I've cut it back, haven't I?
All right.
It's a C minus now, the C minus project. you know, I think the draw flattered them and we just saw what they were capable of against the Raiders, but the fact they couldn't hold it together was emblematic of the entire season and... Too many pretenders in the team, Sam. We say it every week. Too many pretenders.
Yeah. It's a tough one to grade due to circumstances, but, you know, this is life and stuff happens. Bad things happen and people get suspended and get injured. And, yeah, I mean, it's not a D, but I would be somewhere between a C and a C minus.
C-minus project, baby.
C-minus project.
For those who don't know, Sam's first band. Was it your first band or just one of
you? It was like my first solo thing, you know, when it was kind of cool to not use your name as your act.
Yeah.
So Bonnie Prince Billy, Smog. Yeah. I was C-minus project.
You were the C-minus project. So we're giving a solid C-minus to the team. and it's hard to see how they go higher from there, given what's happening roster-wise.
Well, we'll get into that. Something I like to do every year at the end of the season, Newman, is give you player rankings. So why don't we do that?
Okay. Well, what we'll do is we'll have a quick break, an ad in, and then we'll come back with the player rankings before the news.
Up. Sharkcast Radio would not be possible without the generous support of Dyson Logistics.
Dyson Logistics provides tailored logistical solutions to meet individual client needs and is set apart by its personalized service.
Dyson has a strong worldwide agent network, enabling highly competitive rates. Find them online at www.dysonlogistics.com or call them 8399 1844.
Dyson Logistics, service delivered.
So Gallen, scrum base play, Barber. Barber scores. Gallen went to the blind side out of the pack. Picked the ball up, gave it in to Barber.
Welcome back to the show. So as we do at the end of every season, we run through the player ratings. And Sam, you got a list in front of you. Let's go.
It's somewhat alphabetical and backs then forwards. You cool with that?
Yeah, and basically we give a rating out of 10. Mm-hmm. We try and be as honest as possible and, you know, all the mitigating circumstances. So right. Who we got first?
Your little mate, Braden Trindle.
How many games did he play?
I don't have it in front of me. I'm going to say somewhere between 3 and 5.
Yeah, look, you got to give him a 6.5. Just didn't play enough games. Showed promise. Liked his defense. He had some flashes of brilliance, but is far from being the rounded first grade half that we need. But he, I mean, it's unfair. Like, he's played three or four first grade games.
That's all you're judging him on. I'm going to give him a 7. I'm going to say that, particularly on debut at Langham Park, he was extraordinary, and he didn't have any shocking games. Some better than others, but I thought for a young fellow thrown into grade without playing a lot of football this year in or any football beneath first grade, I thought he did pretty good. And I like a lot of his attributes. Is he the future? I'm not sure.
That's fair.
Next up, we have Bronson Sherry. I'm giving him a 0.
Negative 10. Next.
Bryson Goodwin.
4 out of 10. Was put in as a stopgap. I thought originally we said, you know, he was very professional, but he proved over time that the game had passed him by and his legs were a bit slow. And I don't think there was anyone who thought, yay, Bryson Goodwin's in the team.
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, started well in the first couple of games. Game against the Dogs from memory on the wing. Wing is his position. Centre, not so good because of the old legs.
Yeah.
Give him a 5 just because he seems like a nice fella and he scored some nice tries.
Personality's going to get him through.
Here's a big one for us. Chad Townsend.
5.5. Not his best year. Struggled on the park. Made some crucial errors. Couldn't ice the game in a couple of occasions for us. Not his happiest season. I think the critics were over the top, but he certainly struggled.
Yeah, I'll give Chaddy a 6. I think that it was his least productive year for us, just generally speaking. As you said, nowhere near as bad as the critics say, but not close enough to where he should be, which should be a 7.58 for him.
Yep.
Great club man, great off the field, and did show some glimpses during the year, including the last game. So we'll see what the future
brings. He showed what he was capable of there, but, you know, there's just too many dud games and too many games where his defense was just, oh my God.
Yeah. Okay. As a whole, the team's probably in there as well. Here's someone who's going to get a pretty good mark, I reckon, from both of us. Connor Tracy.
Yeah, 7 for mine. Still learning his trade, but showed promise. Seems to me like the kind of guy who looks like he's always going to do something, but, you know, played sort of all over the park. A few different positions, but everywhere they put him, he really had a go. I think he's got a future.
Yeah, definitely got a future. What did you give him, a 7?
Yeah. That might be a bit high, 6.5.
No, I'm going to probably give him a 7.5. I think that defensively is probably the only thing he needs to work on, but he's a slight man and guys are going to beat him. I thought that he tried out of his skin. I thought he created some great stuff, including first try for the Sharks on the weekend, a bit of individual brilliance. And as you said, played a number of positions. Most of them weren't his. His is a 6 or 7.
Yep.
And I like the kid.
Some time in the centres and it's just out
Hooker,
of
I think.
Yeah.
I like the kid. Yep. I think definitely a 7 from me.
Yeah. Your squad's going to benefit from having him. Yep.
Only played, correct me if I'm wrong, the one game. So, Jackson Ferris.
Yeah. Six. When he was in that game, he looked promising. And
probably more than the 6 in that game.
Yeah, more than a 6 in that game, but you can't judge too much on one game. I mean, I think it's pretty unfair on the kid himself.
Yeah.
Injury crueled him, but, you know, who was that game against?
The Broncos.
That was the Broncos, yeah.
Got a great try.
Yeah, promising.
Yeah, I'll give him a 7 just based on that game, and good on him for making the most of that. He'd waited a long time for that debut, and I think that he's not re-signed yet, but should they re-sign him, then I think that he will... he'll have a good future. He should get a shot next year at some point if he's with us. Someone who's holding him out of position at the moment, Jesse Aramian.
Yeah, 6.5 for mine. You know what? I'm going to drop that down to a 6. There are a couple of games where he was really strong, but we just didn't see enough of it and drifted in and out of games. We needed more from him. I've always said I'm not the biggest fan of his. He doesn't seem to be a footballer. He's a battering ram. 6. It's as high as I can go.
Yeah, Jesse, for me, was one of the more disappointing players this year because I expect so much based on his first year with us. based on the contract he signed and based on his potential. For me, I can only think of maybe one to two games where he really shone. The rest were pretty average. And particularly in defense, if you go back and watch a lot of the tries that we let in on his side of the field, he is the key to a lot of that.
Yeah, you're making a very cogent point there, Samuel.
So I'm not writing the guy off, but I'd probably say 5.5, and I'm expecting a very big year from him next year because I believe in a lot of ways he owes us that. So that's,
you know, a lot of these players are going to have to put in a good year next year, otherwise they're in trouble.
Has the potential, though. Like, has the potential. Yeah. So
we'll see what he can do when he's on.
Next up, we have one of your favourites, Josh Dugan.
I thought Dugs was a solid 7 all year. You know, certainly not up in the excellent range with the 8 and the 8.5, 9s. Mm-hmm. But he was capable. I just sort of thought in those big games when we needed him to step up, he just wasn't quite there. Cruel with injury. Very strong defensively, unlike some others in that position. And an all-round professional 7.
Yeah, I'm probably give Dugs a 7.5 just based on effort and commitment. We've said this a million times. We thought he wouldn't play this year, and he ended up doing that and playing a number of games. And I always felt better when he was out there. I always felt like the defense would be a bit better and he'd score a few tries and that kind of thing. And I think whoever's outside of him also plays a lot better. So happy he's there. Obviously, he's a huge situation coming up with contracts for a number of players, which we'll get into in one of the next segments. But what the future holds for Dugan, I'm not sure. But this year, a solid 7.5. I thought last year he was incredible.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he's got an 8 or 9 in him.
Yeah.
But yeah, you know, a decent effort from a guy, as you say, who struggles with injuries. Next up, we have someone we didn't see very much of, and that's Matt Moylan.
4 for me.
Yep.
Just, I've been over it a million times. Everyone knows the reason. Not a fan. He's not robust. Not a great decision maker. Flat track bully. All the talent in the world, but he's going to be one of those players that was a bit of a flash in the pan, I'm afraid.
I'll give him a 5 because half the time he was brilliant. The other half, he was very much less than brilliant. I do think the majority of that...
So Stevens out.
Yeah, I think the majority of that is because of injury. I believe he's a pretty good player. I don't know if he's a special player, but he's a pretty good player when he's fit. Unfortunately for him, injury has crueled a lot of his time at Cronulla recently, and you would have to think that the future's a bit iffy. But yeah, I'll give him a 5 this year. From what we heard, he tried his guts out to be on the field, so full credit to him for that. Next up, we have a guy who played 2 or 3 games, I think, Moini Hirati.
Yeah, he played 2 games, and one of those games he was diabolical, and the other one he was okay, so you give him a 3.5.
I'm not going to give him a score, not for any disrespectful reason, just not a huge fan of his work. I'll say that he surprised me against Canberra. He made a few breaks that I didn't think he had in him, but just a guy that, I don't know, probably shouldn't be at NRL level at our club.
Now, traditionally, Samuel, we've done these. They've had to play 3 games for us to rate him.
So that's, I'm not knocking the kid.
And he wouldn't have played in that Canberra game if it wasn't for weird circumstances. Yeah. So
I'm happy he's got a contract. Good luck to him. Good luck to him. In the similar boat, and I'm sure it'll get more exciting as we get along, but Nene McDonald played a couple of games for us.
Yeah,
probably the same.
Let's not rate him. Yep.
Although he is with the club next year. Here's a guy that played a lot of games for us, Ronaldo Mulitalo.
Yeah, I'm going to give Ronnie a 7. I thought he was one of our shining lights. Ran the ball really hard, enthusiastic, good presence around the squad, but nowhere, like, 7 is quite generous. Some real bad defensive lapses, couple of errors in him. Very raw, but, you know, young. Mm. And if he can improve on that, he could be an 8.5 every week.
Yeah, he's got the world at his feet, but we're not going to muck around here. He had a lot of errors in each game he played, including the one on the weekend, and his defense got better as the season went along, but again, let in a lot of tries. The flip side is great in attack, hard to stop, a lot of tackle busts, line breaks, great returning the ball, good in the corner with the magical put downs. Young.
Kind of one of those hard to rate. Like, how do you rate someone who's
I don't want to be too negative because.
No, but he does some great stuff.
Yeah, and he'll get better each year. So, as I said, the future is at his feet. immaculate person off the field, so I'm going to give him a 7.5 just to up you a little bit.
Oh, wow, 7.5.
Yeah, why not?
Big Ronnie. Like Ronnie. Okay.
Next, we have someone who is going to be pretty high up in the scoring ranks, and that's SJ, Sean Johnson.
Yeah, 8.25 for mine.
Keep going.
One of our best all year. The stats were really good. Started off slow, but over the course of the year, top the try assist tally, kicked really well, played clever, was an awesome impact on the squad, proved his value, fantastic player and bloke, and one of our best all year.
I'm giving him a 9. Whenever Sean is criticised, particularly last year and this year with Cronulla, it's always over the top and dramatic. I haven't seen the guy play a shocking game. I've seen him play a 5 out of 10 game.
But all halves do, you know.
No, hang on. But I haven't seen him just lose a game or
stink it up. Yeah,
I haven't seen that. I've seen him be quiet, come in and out, absolutely. But this year, for the majority of the season, fantastic. Led like a captain would. He captained one game, and without him, we don't score tries. And I thought just all round improved performance from last year. Goal kicking improved as well, and giving him a 9. I thought he was fantastic.
Yeah, well done, Samuel.
Next we have Sione Katoa.
6.5 for Sione. Top try scorer for the team. Great on the finish. I just think he's just, you know, although he's a great try scorer, there are some things in his game that are a bit limited. His defense is a little bit shaky and just not that effective bringing the ball off our own line. Yeah, he plays the top of his ability if not all the time.
Yeah, I'm going to give Sione a 7. Very much improved season. His best for try scoring moments. I thought that he did return the ball back better than in past years. I know what you're saying. He's a slight man.
Yeah, he's improved, but he's
running straight, which is great.
Base.
I can't believe he didn't get run down on the weekend, that intercept. I thought someone would run him down, but he didn't, so that's great.
Yeah, me too.
And I just think he's had an improved year, so he's been rewarded with a new contract, and I'll give him a 7. I thought he and Ronaldo were two of the brightest stories of the year going forward. So next up we have the last person for the backs, I believe, and that is Will Kennedy, the man at the back.
Yeah, 6.5 for mine. Tried his guts out, learning his craft. Certainly not the completed player. Had more games where he struggled than didn't, but he's learning, and you know, he's been fairly capable at the back. Do you think that's fair?
I think that's very fair. I'll give him a 7 just to one up you again. But you know,
he always gives higher scores than me.
I do. Whether he's the guy going forward or not in that position, I'm still not convinced. I'm not saying he's not, but I'm not sure he is. As you said, tried his guts out. I think he got better each game as far as, you know, minimizing the errors and that kind of thing. He does have an error in him, which is a problem for a fullback. It's one of the most important positions. You can't have an error in you. But he's young, and who knows what next year will bring. I'm super happy he got another deal, and I'm super happy that he pretty much pinned down that number one jersey all year long, and it was quite a process to get there. So I'll give him a 7, and I hope he can lift to bigger and better things. I want to see him work with a speed coach, a running coach.
Yeah.
I feel like he's got a bit more zip in him, but I can't see it yet.
Yeah, right. Fair enough. That's a fair point. Yep. Okay.
Moving on to the engine room, Aaron Woods.
5.5 for me. Just, again, like Moylan, you know, an objective observer would probably give him more and say, no, that's a ridiculous rating, but I just think that the money that we're paying him and what we need to see out of him as the leader of the forwards, we just don't get. Doesn't bend the line enough. I mean, he gets good stats, but he just doesn't have the effort play in him. The amount of times we've seen him just not do that extra effort in the middle, and you think, come on, mate. Yeah, just, I'm not a fan.
I'm not going to one up you. I'm going to say 5.5 too. I think that, as you said, his stats are there. He gets through some work. No one's going to say he doesn't try. But the money he's on, which again, we, all the best to you.
He didn't make that number up.
We need that back in performance, and we're not. He should be an 8 on that money.
Correct.
And with that experience, and with that body he's got.
Yeah, and with his experience, it doesn't matter whether the team plays good or bad. The position he plays, he can be an 8 every week.
Yeah.
and the team can do whatever it wants around him. But when he's a 5.5, the rest of the team suffers. That's what's so frustrating.
And in a position like prop, it's very noticeable when you are a 5.5.
Yeah, exactly.
If you're a center, okay, you're not lights out, no. But you're probably not stinking up the world. If you're a prop and bozos are giving you a 5.5 out of 10,
yeah,
you're not going that great.
Yeah, and you know, it starts off every set. If he's not starting the sets off well and, you know, dumping the ball out the back or just tackling in the middle,
I think when did he join us? Maybe mid-2018, I think that's right. Best game for us was against the Cowboys 6 weeks ago. Fantastic, but just not enough.
Nowhere near enough of that.
Not enough. So hopefully he can have a big year next year. He's off contract, so.
Well, he's been an Origin player. He's been a kangaroo player, right? How far away from Origin selection do you think? Do you think he even factors in the discussion?
No.
No.
And I say that respectfully. No. His prop buddy, Andrew Fifita.
Oh, God. How hard is this to...
It's tough to kind of calculate.
Look, 6.5. He's just hampered by injuries. He tried so hard every time he was out there, and you could see that he really wanted it. And his ability was probably, what he was able to achieve on the field probably warranted a lower score, but the fact he tried so hard pumps him up a bit.
Yeah.
His body's cooked. I mean, let's be honest. And he got dropped. He admitted he got dropped through the year. Certainly not his happiest year. He's a long way from his best football.
Yeah, this is a tough one, Newman. I want to give him a 7 based on effort and that time before he got injured where he was coming off the bench initially. I thought he was fantastic. Probably, 4 or 5, 6 games. I'll give him 6.5 based on performance, but if we're giving effort, it's like a 9. If we're giving attitude, it's a 9.
Yeah.
But based on performance, he's just very limited in what he can do, unfortunately.
And it proves, kids, that you might not be the best, but if you try really hard, absolutely, it's always worth a couple of extra points. But
absolutely.
We love you, Andy.
We do. And I don't really begrudge the club what they do. We'll get into all that stuff another time. But if they want to re-sign him, I got no issue with that. We can't really judge him on Billy Magoulis.
Well, we can't judge. Move forward. He wasn't good in the games he played.
Someone who was really good in, I think, every game he played is Blake Brayley.
Yeah, an 8 for mine. And warm to the task. Tiny body. Still really young. Really learning. Has a big ceiling in front of him. Like everything about him, Sam. Kicked a couple of 40-20s. Looked great against the Raiders before he went off. Yeah, 8 all day of the week.
Yeah, I'm going 9. I think he's up there with SJ as our best player of the year. And I hope his injury isn't too bad from the weekend. I think it's like a 10-week kind of injury. So he'll be back for next year, rocking and rolling. But the great thing is he's so young.
Yeah.
There's so much ahead of him.
100%. Yeah.
Great footballing family.
He's running the ball when he's, you know, he sort of was a bit dour early doors. You know, he wasn't running the ball. He was just dishing it off. But he came into his own. Defensively strong in the middle for a little body.
He's tiny.
Yeah. Can't say highly enough.
Yeah, awesome.
Real cult favourite around the club.
Awesome. Braden Hamlin-Ueli.
A 7 for mine. Probably not his best, not as good as last year, but capably got about his work and did the job of on way less money than others around him.
Yeah, I'll give him a 7.5. I thought that this year there were some errors that crept into his game that I'd never seen before, even watching him lower grades and then a few years of regular football in NRL. This year there were some errors that came into his game. But super strong effort and a game changer when he wants to be. Again, a guy with a big future. He signed on for a few years, which is great. And I think that he can be anything he wants. That's how good he potentially could be. So I give him a 7.5 and a terrific fellow as well. Not that it really matters as far as scoring, but
yep. it always helps.
It's good to have him in the club, that's for sure. Next up, we have Britt Nakora.
Yeah, 6 for Britt. And I think he's probably... second half of the season got him up a couple of points, but he was dropped. A lot of second-year syndrome about him. Looks really lost without Sean Johnson on the field. Needs to click it up a gear, but he's got that ability. Some of the defense, he's a noted hitter, but you know. What did you think, Sam?
Yeah, I'll give him a 6. I think that I haven't put the ruler through him. I think he's got a lot of potential still. I think that he needs Sean out there to be at his best. I also want to see him work on the defense, but there's 29 other guys in that club that need to work on that defense.
Yep.
So he's not alone there, but you're right. First year was particularly strong defensively. This year, not so much. So I think if he works on that kind of thing. I think that he can come back in year three and have a super year, but I'll give him a six. Give him a six. Next up we have, so Cameron King unfortunately didn't play. Vasquez played one game. Jack Williams.
Yeah, look, six, same reason.
A lot of sixes here, huh?
Yeah, a lot of sixes. You know, he got about his job capably, but I don't see a great deal from Jack. You know, he seemed to get the errors out of his game, which was great, but, you know, if that's what you're looking for in all the positives you can say about him, you know, the new Paul Gallen monikers are a long way off. Yeah, six for mine.
Yeah, I'll probably go as low as 5.5. I think that you're 100% correct and good on him. He got rid of those errors, and that was a good effort because he was really troubled.
We're all howling for him to be
booked. So absolutely, you know, give him a point for that. I feel like, I'm not sure who, like Aaron Woods we were talking about. This guy Williams could be an absolute beast every time he touches the ball. And he's not. And I don't know why that is. But for him to be a regular first grader at a decent club, I feel like he's going to have to unleash that. Otherwise, he's just another forward plodding along.
Yeah.
Like, that's his X factor.
Yeah. He's very much middling. He's going to have to step up.
He needs to, like, really unleash, man. I don't know why he's not. And a whole bunch of them aren't. Don't get me wrong. But you look at him and it's like, this guy could cause serious damage.
Yeah.
But he's not.
All right, what do you got next?
Next we have my friend, Royce Hunt.
Yeah, 7 for mine, Royce Hunt. You know, got on the plate off the bench, did his role perfectly, ran hard, tackled hard. He's still young, he's not the finished product yet, but can't ask anything more. He did everything we asked and more.
Royce is getting a big 8 from me on a training contract initially and found himself on a 1-year deal. Now has a 3-year deal off the bench. The offload was happening. Didn't take a backward step. And I really am impressed with this kid. And I'm heartbroken by his injury. Hopefully he comes back in an okay way with that knee. Or what was it? The leg? Some part of the leg.
The patella, the knee, kneecap.
I know that one. So hopefully when he's back to his monstrous best. But fantastic effort. I think that he might win some of the club awards.
I think you might be right about that.
Scott Sorensen.
Big fat 6. Average, down the middle. Didn't do anything particularly wrong.
It's a good 6.
But didn't light it up.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I'm going to give him a 7 just based on the fact that I thought he'd be a 6. Or less, to be honest. But he really held his spot for a while. And I'm not sure if it's the fact that guys around him weren't going so good or he was going a bit better. But I thought he had a decent year, Scotty Sorensen. We know that he's respectfully not an origin player, as they like to say in the business. But I thought, you know, he can look himself in the mirror and say he's done his best this year. And, and good luck to him. Next up, we have someone you like to refer to as the GOAT. I call him Talakai.
Yeah, he's the 9 for mine. Best of the year. Just fantastic in every way, shape, or form. Electric, dynamite, everything that you want out of a player. Tried really hard, just came out of nowhere. Can't fault him. It's some defensive lapses, but, you know, he wasn't on his hand solo there. And a fantastic year. He's a fan favorite.
Yeah, along with Brayley and SJ, for me, he's the best. I give him a 9. Defensive lapses, you know, he's learning and he's also being switched around the park a lot. He played the middle last week for the first time in NRL, at least.
Yep.
So,
which I thought was a pretty good shout by John Morris to bench Woods and Fifita and put Talakai out there. I mean, he's hard to handle, and for his defensive lapses, he more than made up for it with the ball in hand.
Yeah, and another great story, a guy who, I don't know if he was on a training contract, but then he won them over, and he signed another year deal, and a fan favorite, as you said. So, yeah, absolutely a 9 for him. And I think moving forward, he's a guy you can base a lot of your game around. Young Teague Wilton played a handful of games. What do you think of Teague?
Yeah, 6.5. I like what I saw.
Yeah.
One of the best, more surprising. Probably Talakai surprised me the most, but I was pleasantly surprised with Teague. I didn't think he'd do as well as he did.
Yeah, he looks pretty professional. And I love the shape and everything. So, he's got a bit of a future. We'll see what happens next year for him. But definitely didn't let us down too much, so good luck to him. He looked like he fit into the first grade, and that's pretty much the best compliment you can give these guys. Yep. Fan favorite, Toby Rudolph.
Yeah, 7 for Big Tobes. Oh, actually, I'll probably push it up to 7.25.
You got it.
Yeah, great. Toby Rudolph, out of the gates, big beast animal, scored a couple of tries, won us a game. Yeah, loved it.
I'm going 8.5.
Oh, wow. Yeah, okay. There
taking
you go.
1.5 off for some middle defense and some errors, but he's green as, even after a year of NRL, he's still green.
He's very green.
He'll be, when will he, won't be green, maybe end of next year.
Yeah, yeah. Give
even more, yeah. Like 40, 50 games.
40, 50 games, you'd probably say he's ready to go.
But just fantastic.
Hope he doesn't lose that animal edge, though, in that 50
games. I don't
games.
Think he will. I don't think he's got that in him, I think. He's not 18 years old, and he's still sort of got that edge to him. So 8.5 from me. Really great stuff from Toby Rudolph.
And the captain, Wade Graham.
Wade us. Out.
6 for mine. A long way from his best, Wade. Injury interrupted year, as was last year. But he's been subsequently left out of the Origin squad because of his form. So we're not I'm not on my own when I feel that way. I think maybe the captaincy was such something that he wanted so much that he didn't wear it that well. Strange decisions, didn't really own the captain's challenge, and it wasn't just that one against Canberra. We were very poor on the captain's challenge. We needed a couple of captain's plays and they weren't there. I mean, he's learning in that regard, but yeah, definitely not Wade's best season.
Yeah, and I would like to think a lot of it is injury related. We know he's a champion footballer, and guys like him, they don't have those sort of seasons just out of the blue.
Yeah.
And he's veteran now.
Circumstances, yeah.
So, I think a 6 is fair, and I think he would tell you it's not his best year. First time since 1995, a Shark won't be in the, at least in the first State of Origin.
Wow.
Like
is
a
that
Shark
right?
has not been picked, yeah.
Wow.
We're not including 1997, so.
And coach, Bomber John Morris. I'll let you go first, Sam.
Really? Didn't know we were doing coaches. What am I giving Bomber? This one's tough. It's tough, Newman, because of all the circumstances you want to give him pass marks for, like salary cap and injury.
There are certainly reasons.
Someone else's. I don't know how to grade it, but I'll say this. We need to improve our defense, and I'm not alone here saying that. I know that, but it's a real problem. And it's his job at the end of the day to fix that up.
I give him a 6.5. Yep. You could probably go higher, but the fact is that the team was flattered by the draw. They played full, however many rounds, 25 rounds, they probably wouldn't have made the finals.
Right, yeah.
And the most missed tackles and the poor middle defense, defense is half the game. Mm. So, what I did like about him was he played an exciting brand of football. We scored a lot of points. We scored a lot of tries.
Yeah.
He was very happy to blood the youngsters, but he just wasn't able to get the best out of the likes of Woods and Moylan, which I don't think he's on his own there.
No, he's not. He's not.
And, the whole Cherry and Morris thing, yeah, it was a tough year for him, but to make the finals, he's good, but we weren't really in with a show.
I mean, he's got a big year next year. He's off contract end of the year and a huge year for him. So,
and if they start losing again, the pressure will be on. And I think the next year is going to be a difficult year.
Well, we'll get into that soon, Newman. That's all of your Cronulla Sharks, I think.
All right, we're going to cut to a break and we come back on the other side. We've got the news and there's a couple of big announcements. Buying or selling a property is one of the most stressful undertakings that you can do in your entire life. Luckily, Sharkcast Radio is supported by one of the best and most honest real estate agents in the Sutherland Shire market and is an expert in the North Caringbah region. I sold my property with Jason Hawes from Cripps & Cripps Real Estate and could not have been happier with the outcome. Call Jason on 0410-417-450. That's Jason from Cripps & Cripps Real Estate, 0410-417-450.
Fafita tries to crash his way over, he does! Fafita got the ball over the line! Michael Innes and Ben Barber celebrate!
Five,
they
mate.
Saw what I saw!
I've got try.
We all saw what you saw!
Welcome back to the show, and now it's kind of that time where we see what news has washed in across Botany Bay towards the mangrovey shores of PointsBet Stadium. The news and the big news, not a lot going around because there's no signing news or anything, but local grand finals happened a couple of weeks ago, Sam, and yeah. I called the local A grade, and it was Dealer, Yeehaw Dealer. They swept the pond. They won A grade and B grade. Both grand finals were Como v. Dealer. And Dealer ran away easy winners, and it was a great day out. And in the Sydney Shield, massive scenes, huge areas. My mighty Cronulla Caringbah Sharks, led by the Michael Leisha, were down 26 blot against the Ryde Eastwood Hawks and got home.
Wow.
So they won 34-30, and the first senior title for Cronulla Caringbah since 1978.
Now, is Leisha, is he anywhere near being able to play first grade?
Have you seen the size of him?
No.
He's not the little skinny guy. Okay. He's been grazing a very good paddy.
Really?
Yeah. Okay. I was frankly watching him going, geez, how's he going to last the full? He seems does? Quite fit,
yeah.
But he's very big.
Yeah, right. Okay.
Yeah.
Good luck to him.
Yep.
Who else is in that team that I know?
Jacob Gagan.
How's he looking?
He looks great. He's good to play tomorrow out on the wing.
Good looking guy.
And in other news, Samuel, yes. it's not goodbye, but it's see you later. I texted you about, when was it?
No, you emailed me.
I emailed you. When was it? So this isn't out of the clear blue sky.
COVID.
Yeah, that this will be my last year doing the week-to-week Sharkcast stuff. Just, you probably guessed, all the listeners out there in listener land, that we found it hard to get together and life sort of taken over. It's dropped down my list of priorities, and I feel like we unfair to you, Sam, and it will be unfair to the listeners that I don't put a full effort in. So we might do something to wrap up. And
I'm sure we will.
But it's been a fantastic 6 years, and you and I have developed a real friendship. And
As opposed to that first year or so.
And I just am still blown away that people enjoy what we do, and so much thanks to the listeners and to the sponsors. But this isn't about me.
No, it is. You are half of this podcast, whether you like it or not. And as you'll see and hear in the next section with letters, a lot of people like what we do. So it is big news.
Mm-hmm.
I've been wrestling with it since COVID. So I've had COVID on my mind, and I've had this on my mind.
Oh, it's the stress, Samuel.
No, it's big. It's big. We've done this for 6 years every week. I was trying to work out the episodes. I'm sure there's an easy way to do it, but I haven't. But it's six seasons of episodes plus a whole bunch more. So you've certainly...
It's up around the 200 mark.
It's got to be.
Yeah.
You've certainly worked your butt off, which is very impressive. I will miss doing this, but we'll see.
Well, you're
going to
keep going, aren't you?
I'm going to keep going. Yeah. You and I can talk about that as well, but I will keep going doing something like this, yes. Yeah. Absolutely. So,
because
I can't stop, basically. And it's good therapy when these mofos lose these games they shouldn't be losing. I get to come on here and yap. If I didn't do it.
With that, you will still be able to get your podcast fix. I was asked to go on to the wonderful Rugby League Digest podcast in their enormous 400-part Super League series, and I provided the insight.
It's still going, right?
In the Cronulla, I think it's 30 episodes deep.
Yeah, cool.
And I went to Rugby League Digest headquarters in their big Dragons supporters into the heart of Dragons territory, and that will be out about the same time this is out.
Okay, cool.
So if you go to Rugby League Digest, you can hear, you've probably heard most of it though, because it's for a different audience, but that's an awesome podcast.
Yeah, it is. We will promote
it's
that
very
in our channels.
Thoroughly researched and academic in nature, unlike what we do.
Did they tell you why they're so obsessed with it? Is it something to do with the Dragons or?
They're big on the history of the game. Yeah. So all the way back to 1908 and 1895, those guys are students of the game. And I actually was there when the idea was formed. I was sitting on a table at the Newtown Jets season launch, not this year, last year. And there was a couple of guys from Inside Sport magazine, those guys from Rugby League Digest, Albie Tallarico, all of those rugby league nuts. And we were flying ideas around about Super League and like what a fascinating story it was and how it hadn't really been told.
Mm.
what a monumental shift in sport it was, and they were like, "Yeah, we should do a podcast," and they took the idea and ran with it.
Yeah, cool.
And I'm like, "That could be a cool listen," but I never knew how good it'd be.
Yeah, it's really good. As you said, it's quite intensive, and they're not 10-minute episodes. They get into it, and I do love and I'll say this respectfully, as frustrating it is that you want them to like get to the juicy stuff when you tune in.
Oh, it takes so long.
It takes long, but it's worth the effort. And you do learn a lot moving with them. Each episode is informative, and even when they sort of go backwards in time.
Yeah.
And you're just like, no, go forward.
And I really had to do my research to go and talk about chronology.
I'm looking forward to hearing about it. Did you talk about the village people at Shark Park?
No, I didn't.
Oh, man.
I didn't. We did talk about the glitz and glamour and just what a difference it was. But
how do they look at us as a club?
Oh, with disdain.
Yeah, cool. As they should.
You know, they're big on the whole. The comp needs to be rationalised and less Sydney teams. And I'm like, no. I stood up and said, no, don't rationalise the comp. There aren't too many teams.
Where
in
are
Sydney.
We going?
Anywhere.
How are they cool with us being at Cogra? No.
Very uncool. That was the first thing we talked about. Very uncool. But yeah, it's on Rugby League Digest. So,
okay.
And other podcast news. We have a special episode coming up.
We do.
Where we do a deep dive into our history with one of the most heartbreaking years as a Sharks fan, 2002, with one of the main players, and it's going to get people mad.
Yeah, we're going to do that. Yeah, because originally, and we might still do it, one of our dear listeners...
No, that's coming up. Off-season, that's going to come out.
Yeah, gave us the idea about doing one side of that story, but now we're going straight to the other side.
Well, the way the podcasts work were, we talked to John Docking about 88, we talked to Luke Cavella at 2005, and we're going to talk to one of the main players from 2002.
Mm.
And he hasn't told his part of that story yet, and...
Should be good.
When I first approached him about it, he nearly jumped down my throat.
I'm not sure what my role is going to be in that, Newman.
You're going to get involved and be fair and give every... Good journalism, Sam, is you give everybody their say and you ask the tough questions. One thing that the guys from RLD did say was, they were like, we listen to your podcast and how do you get away with being so hard on the players? And we're like, we thought we were quite objective.
We're fair.
Yeah, I guess it's all in the eye of the beholder. They thought we were really harsh on them.
Nah, you're allowed to say someone's a 5.5, surely. Okay. Hope so.
Okay.
Anything else you could say about your breaking news, Newman?
No, that's about it,
man. What's the future hold for you?
Who knows?
That's nice.
It's going to be a lot less sport in my future, though. Yeah. It's going to be a lot less sport in my future, but that's...
A lot less losing.
What do you mean, a lot less losing?
Well, that's sport. Sport is basically losing.
Yeah, but I'm not playing.
No, I'm not talking about that. Talking about last Saturday night, losing.
Yeah, but that's one of my drivers why I'm getting out of it, because it's punditry doesn't suit me. Anyway, all right, let's cut to a break. When we come back on the other side, we're going to have the letters, and we've got an absolute metric S-ton of them. So Sharkcast Radio. The Royal Motor Yacht Club, Port Hacking, is a hidden gem of the Shire, situated on the banks of the beautiful Port Hacking, and is the best venue around for lunch, dinner, casual catch-up with friends, or function.
They always show NRL games live on the big screens, and Sunday arvos are superb with live acoustic music in the beer garden while the boats frame the backdrop. And you mean I love acoustic music, you know that?
Yachty's Bistro is open 7 days and nights, serving great food, and if you mention Sharkcast Radio, you get a free...
garlic bread, baby.
The RMYC Port Hacking, Woolaware Road, Woolaware, or check out their Facebook feed to see what's on.
Got the ball away! Bromwich to Smith, Smith to Hampton. Hampton, can he find a gap? He gets the ball away. It's back to Smith. Smith gets it away to Cronk. Cronk's got Corabetti with it. Have they got a chance here? Corabetti's put down. The siren sounds. Cronulla have won it. 14-12. You can turn the light out now.
Give me a ticket for an aeroplane. Ain't got time to take a fast train.
Lonely days are gone, I'm a going home. My baby just wrote me a letter. I don't care how... Welcome back to the show. And now it's kind of that time where we see what little Sharky who rips around the neighborhood on a high-vis motorbike has jammed into the slot. The letters you can get at sharkcastpod@gmail.com or on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram with the handle at sharkcastpod. Sam, we have a stack of mail, the ties of the Paul Gallen statue or painting on the side of Triple Bull. And you got a shark tooth shaped letter opener you're about to rip into it. So what do you got? First cab off the rank.
So a lot of this is based on what's happening next year with players and coaches and that kind of stuff. But the first one is from Sladden Road. You'd all know him from the forums. He says, "Hey, Sam and Newman, thanks for the pod. The familiar voices of you guys give some strange sense of peace to my weeks. Therefore, I must be going mad." Yes, you must. Thank you. SJ was on track to be re-signed for a couple of years at least 850K. Injury, yada, yada, yada. Putting the signing cap on, what would you offer? 2 years plus 1 year at 650, 700 or 850, or none at all and place the future in the hands of the likes of Trindle and Tracy? What happens to Chad?
It's
a good one.
The question about what you do with SJ, that is a dilly of a pickle now.
So just to interrupt, your mate Dino did some sort of press thing today, which you'll find, I think, on NRL.com. Spoke about a number of things. And SJ, they are definitely going to be re-signing, but they're not going to be looking into it until probably he comes back.
Well, that's a sensible business move. And Dino, as I've been on the record, is a very capable and smart operator. That's the right way to play it.
Mm-hmm.
What it means with the other players, because you've got no way to know how he's going to come back. Is he going to be cooked when he's back?
Yeah.
Is he going to be able to run? I mean, Chad, the writing seems to be on the wall. I don't see him bouncing back from a year like this. I think he just might be dipping out.
So keep in mind, Chad's on a long-term deal pretty much.
I know. Tracy and Trindle, but they're not ready. So we're in a difficult position that you can't make a decision on in October. You have to see how trial form looks. It's a very, very interesting scenario.
It does mean, though, I think from November that people can go talk to them.
Yeah.
So if someone gets in Sean's ear and goes, "We don't care, here's $1 million," he can go, "Yeah, sweet."
I honestly don't think Sean would do that.
I don't think so either.
Given his injury. And I don't think there'd be too many clubs, had he not had the injury,
yeah
they're probably going to go, "Here's a mountain of money. We're the Bulldogs. We need a decent half. Come play with for us." But given that injury, he's not going to attract those big money offers. He's just not. So other people are going to feel the same way we are, and they're going to hold off. What happens with Chad? He's got a long-term deal. You can see him sticking around. But as we've seen, Coach Morris does have the cojones to drop. He dropped Fifita, dropped Nakora. And I don't think Chad's immune from that.
So Sladden Road also says, Burrito, that's Fifita, right?
Yeah.
He says, "You guys get very sentimental about 2016 and give him a free pass. I love the Merkin, but his body isn't up to it. Medical retirement from the club or a trainer role, please."
No, I understand that totally.
He also says, on the Bomber Morris question, "Give him a couple of years with no mess to clean up. But alas, I hear the Jaws theme music in the distance and see the pearly white choppers of flannel on the horizon."
Yep. That's a fair point too. I mean, how can you judge Bomber Morris fairly with the mess he's had to clean up? But the fact is, the mess is there. He's got to clean up, and that's going to affect his legacy. But yeah, I hear about the flannel thing all the time.
You still hearing it?
I'm still hearing it. Yeah.
Didn't probably help things, even though he was just celebrating a great time. On October 2nd, Flano put on Instagram a photo of the Sharks winning the grand final, and then everyone went bonkers. He was replying to stuff.
He's a bit cagey than he looks, the old big Captain Big Tooth.
We know this. And he says, "Lastly, the summer series, will Sam give us the long-awaited Ando explosive?" Well, we sort of hinted that something might be coming there. "And will Newman finally divulge his political leanings?"
I thought that were pretty obvious. Well, what do you want to know?
I'm glad someone's picking on you for once.
Yeah.
Usually you come up with all these fake emails writing stuff about me and expect me to believe it's someone else.
I definitely lean to the left.
Okay. We've got one from Tate.
I just like people, Sam.
You do.
There's nothing wrong with free healthcare.
No, it's not. We've got one from Tate.
All right. So Tate says, "G'day, boys. First time, long time. So I mean, first time writer, long time listener. Just wanted your thoughts on this article I've written on insidefeed.com.au. Shameless plug. So if you go onto that website, you can find an article titled, Why the Sharks Will Be Bottom Four Next Year from a Sharks Tragic. I know I'm focusing on all the negatives, but too many fans just say, just get behind the boys, etc., and live in denial. Absolutely, but we need to remove the rose-colored glasses and call a spade at times before it's too late. And he goes on to write a very well-written article outlining why we will finish bottom four and why the world, everything negative is going to result in negative things, which is fair enough. It's a possibility they finish bottom four.
Yeah, so we encourage you to go at least check out what Tate has written. And what was the website? It's insidefeed.com.au. Essentially, to paraphrase, and I'm doing a really bad job of it right now, but he basically just says the opposite of what we just said about Bomber. So he had the good draw and they mucked it up.
Yep.
He's got experienced guys there.
That are just getting a lot of reasons. Yep.
Yeah, there's a lot of reasons that Tate outlines. And then they're not wrong reasons. It's more about which way you want to go with that opinion. But very well written, and thank you for letting us know about it.
I think you might just be a little bit doom and gloom, Tate.
Coming from you.
Yeah, I think that they'll finish not bottom four, but bottom eight.
The Sean Johnson thing's an issue. The injury. 100%. It's an issue. So if he plays from the start, they're on track for, I would think, a top eight finish. Probably 6 to 8.
Yeah.
But they're on track. You got to think that the defense will be better, whether it's 5% or whatever. It's going to be better, and they're going to play better. Therefore, there'll be more results. Without Sean, it's kind of out the window. I don't really know.
Every year since 2016, we've drifted. We should finish top four. We should finish top six. We should finish top eight. Now we're just like, oh, shit.
Well, and that's a point that Tate makes, is that we have lost, completely lost that magic that we had. Mm. Next up, we have Macca, good mate of the show. Wanted to say thanks for another season of pods. I really enjoyed listening despite the average season on the park. I'm a little emotional. It's 20 minutes since we got bundled out of the finals. Seriously, though, intercepts, quick taps, juggled kicks, lucky bounces, yada, yada, yada. Am I being biased?
The Raiders got very lucky. You know, they didn't get lucky. Everything went their way in that game, particularly in the second half.
Yeah.
The fact that our players were getting injured and coming off all the plays, that's luck for the other team.
That said, I was very happily surprised by a performance in the first half of the match. Losing Brayley hurt us a lot. I think Morris has done a great job bringing them all through, all the young guys, and he deserves an extension for mine. No way we want Flano back. In terms of recruitment...
This is a good point. I like this.
I don't think we need to do a lot. Move a couple of high-paid players on and look for a five-star fullback.
Tedesco. That'd be nice.
The future, Roger Tuivasa.
Can we have the future back, he says.
Will Kennedy is solid, but not a superstar, and your spine players need to be. We have 2 out of 4 in SJ and Bradley, but we need 4. Very impressed with Tracy, and I think he should be Johnson's long-term partner. Look forward to having a beer with you at the Yachty soon. Thanks for your hard work, Macca. Hey, beers are on you, my friend, whenever you want. Great point. I would love a five-star fullback.
It's a good point. In the modern game, you need to have a gun fullback in your team if you're going to be good.
And you think about our great fullbacks, and they've all led to success in one way or another, and I'm talking David Peachy, I'm talking Ben Barber, I'm talking Valentine Holmes to an extent, and a million more, Jonathan Docking. Like, you need a good one.
Yeah.
Will, at the moment, is...
he's a capable first
capable grader. And he's young and learning. So he needs another year, I would think, to see what's going to happen. Whether we have that year, I don't know. People want to win all of a sudden very quickly. So it's a tough one.
All right. We got one from Jordan. And Jordan says, I thought we played pretty good against the Raiders and was probably the best effort I've seen from the guys in a long time. They busted their guts, and unfortunately losing Brayley and then Sorensen was the nail in the coffin. I'm not here to blame the referees, but that one decision from Atkins when he didn't stop play, let Graham walk and not let Wade Graham talk to him was a disgrace. Anyway, I hope the boys have a good off season. The lads need to come back and improve. Enjoy your summer, lads. Hope to hear some episodes out over the break. Up, up. We also got one from Jack, and this is quite pertinent. Jack says, first of all, love the show. Well played. I even put up with all the punk rock for you guys. Laugh out loud. Constructive feedback. We all know life is busy and won't be slowing down anytime soon. Have you guys given any thought to expanding your on-air team to include a third full-time or occasional member or panel of guests to call upon for those weeks when you can't get together? Well, that's all up in the air now, isn't it? Thanks to me.
I replied to Jack, as I reply to most people there, and I said, thanks for the feedback. We really appreciate it. Glad you like the show. And I hinted to him that things would be changing a bit. And we've contemplated
the only reason
things.
We don't get a third person is because we say we're going to do it at a time, and then invariably one of us at the last minute, and it's completely blame is shared across both parties, sends a text and goes, I can't do it tonight because XYZ.
I've got an L7.
Yeah. And then there's like, can you do it tomorrow? No. And there's no time to get anybody else either.
Yeah, and I mean, I've thought about it long and hard, and to bring someone else in, they have to fit into our world as well, in the way that you and I communicate.
Yeah,
you know, we're just two weirdos who, for whatever reason, get along. We've thought about it, but yeah, we'll see what the future brings. Thank you, Jack, for your feedback. I mean, it's great to get it. That's for sure. We've got one from Jason. I'll let you read out. Newman?
All right. Jason says, I love how Annesley made no mention of not tapping the ball in his weekly match review presser, even after he specifically highlighted the before indiscretion, or as I keep saying, sack them all. Maccas would not even employ them. I am so over bad officiating. All right. Well, that wraps us up for the letters. You can get a sharkcastpod@gmail.com. Thanks to everybody for writing in this year.
Oh, it's been huge.
All your cult favorites, all your cult heroes. And
easily our most communicative batch this year out of the six seasons. Mm. Easily.
Mm.
Which is really cool. Thank you so much.
All right, Sam. So before we wrap up, there's no game to preview.
No.
Who do you think is going to win the comp?
You're looking at a Penrith Melbourne grand final. I'm not a scoop saying that.
No.
And I am going to say if Cam Munster plays for Melbourne, he's got a bit of an injury worry. If he's fit and ready to play for Melbourne, I'm going to tip Melbourne a bit, Penrith. Otherwise, if they're down a troop or two, Melbourne, I'm going to go Penrith.
They were pretty good. Now, the next question for you is your favourite memory from this season.
There hasn't been a lot. Like, I'm not going to dumb that down, like this year, for heaps of reasons. The world collapsing through to just not a great performance from the boys, generally speaking. Like, it's not a year that I'm going to look back and go, oh, I remember this, remember that. But I think just watching Sean Johnson play to his potential has been a real highlight. I've enjoyed him since 2011, watching him play. And him coming to Cronulla was almost like a dream come true. It's a bit dramatic, but I was very happy when he came. And to see him play like that was probably the highlight of my year.
Yeah, mine was watching Talakai come along, but in terms of moments, it was when Toby Rudolph won the game against the Warriors. That was that was huge, you know. That was a
fun
big game for us, and you know, to see Toby, do his thing, that was awesome. So that probably helped that I was at that game. I didn't make it to many games this year because of the COVID and everything like that, but. Yeah, that was mine. All right, well, that wraps us up for another season of Sharkcast Radio. Ooh. And as we say every week, Samuel.
Are we going to do one more? What are you saying?
Well, we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens.
See which way the wind blows.
Yeah, we should do a... We'll research.
Remember when.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, we'll
not,
see you soon. It's
goodbye, it's see you later. What does that mean?
What are you trying to say?
I don't know.
So we'll see you soon. We'll speak to you all soon. Thank you very much.
All right, thank you. Bye.
Up, up.